Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
It's a Wednesday edition of Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Hope everybody's having a terrific day. We are in downtown West Palm Beach at the City Place Studios. My name is Colin Russo. Joined alongside me, Mike Rizzo, with Christian Katz behind the glass. As always, midweek edition. We got a packed NFL football slate. You got no college football. We got Army Navy coming up this weekend. Of course, you were in the thick of MLB winter meetings, so a bunch of free agency moves are dialing, and basically the AL East and everybody else making moves. We'll get into that. And, of course, a little bit of what the playoff implications are this weekend and what the award races really stand at. Got a packed program for you, a little better than yesterday, how we're going to improve our lives. Should be a fun one. Mike, how are you doing today? Everything good?
Good, partner. Went to Lake Worth, Hurricane Grill. We're going to be there tomorrow. We're going to be on remote. So we're looking forward to that, to being in Lake Worth at Hurricane Grill. So make sure you all come on and see us tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. And a busy day, partner. Busy day, but ready to talk some sports, man. Ready to talk some Yankees. Juan Soto. They missed out on Juan Soto, huh?
Well,
Yankee fan are in disaster over here.
They haven't missed a beat in terms of getting involved quickly. And, of course, news broke yesterday in the evening that Max Fried, the free agent left-hander, from the Atlanta Braves, will be making his way to New York on an eight-year deal worth about $218 million with the New York Yankees. It's just step one in, rebuilding that Yankee rotation and rebuilding this lineup and making sure that they can replace some of the production left by Soto, but also that they're still well in the mix of the AL contention. Kyle Tucker has been floated as a trade candidate for both the Cubs, the Yankees, and a slew of other teams. Waiting to hear from Alex Bregman. Maybe he'll be a Yankee. There's a ton to happen still to go. Christian Walker has been floated to the Yankees. But I guess the question really lies in, all right, step one is done. They got a big arm in Max Fried. So they got a little bit of leniency in terms of how they're going to handle the rotation, whether they want to trade somebody like Luis Gil, whatever that may be. Where do the Yankees even start from a hitting perspective? In terms of replacing something like Soto, or is it more important not to replace Soto, but as the Moneyball way of saying it, replace him in the aggregate? You want to be a better team elsewhere, and that will replace, I guess, the impact on winning that Soto has left. Is it more of, all right, let's revamp and try something different? Or is this, all right, Soto's OBP is this. He bats in this many runs. And he's this impactful in the lineup. We need to replace those numbers. Where do the Yankees really lie in replacing that?
Well, now they have no choice but to do the latter, what you were talking about, of finding a population of players to try to replace what he does. But, Colin, I said it before, free agency, and I'm going to say it now. You can't replace Soto. The Yankees needed to replace Soto, in my opinion, to stay on the level of the Dodgers, to stay on the level of being the best team in the AL. I think all these AL teams found out that, hey, the league kind of stunk last year.
If we make a couple, stunk, yeah.
The league in general kind of stunk last year. If we're able to make a couple of moves this offseason, we're going to position ourselves pretty good. And that was with the Yankees having Soto. I thought the Yankees and I know nonetheless, I thought the Guardians had a chance to beat the Yankees, and obviously it turns out we had no chance at all. But the Yankees played with their dinner a little bit in a couple of those games against the Guardians, and that was with Juan Soto.
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest Yankee team of all time. No. I don't think that goes without saying. It wasn't the greatest AL of all time, but you're right. But I think the idea that the AL is attainable is apparent amongst the other AL teams. Of course, the Red Sox being one of them and getting Garrett Crochet from the Chicago White Sox today for a big package of prospects. Other teams are going to be well in the mix for these big-time players now that Soto is shipped off. That market is set. But now the eyes sort of lie on what the Rangers are doing, what the Astros are doing, what are the Blue Jays going to do, the Red Sox, and now the Yankees. So in terms of, so you're saying they can't replace him.
Yeah, so
what do you do instead?
You have no choice but to do what you talked about, the aggregate, the population, the signing a bunch of guys and trying to replace what he gave you. He is unbelievable, Colin. He is one of one at the plate right now. I think, you know, Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, by the way, they play on the same team, which is kind of cheating. But though outside of those guys, he does stuff at the plate that no one can do in the MLB. There is replacing Soto. So you have to do it.
Well, you got to do it by Village. Yeah.
You have to. You have no choice now. Do I think that they're going to be able to replace what he gave? Personally, I don't think so. But this is a team game. Maybe the exit, or rather non-re-signing of Soto, turns the Yankees into a collective that's going to benefit them. I just don't see how you don't bring back Juan Soto and are a better team. That's my two cents on the whole situation.
Well, I guess all the chips lie in Brian Cashman, the New York Yankee general manager's hands right now, as he now has to prove to the Yankee fan, to the AL East, and most importantly to the MLB, that not only are they not going anywhere, I'm not saying they're not going to, you know, this is not going to be a 70-win team, but in being top of the food chain in the AL, he needs to prove to the fans that, all right, we didn't get Soto. We kind of got outbid, which is crazy considering it's the New York Yankees.
Right.
We got outbid. Now we have to convince every other fan that, all right, this is what we're going to do instead. We're going to invest here. And they showed that to a degree with Max Fried and going to get him because he's a big arm, probably the biggest lefty arm on the market. But you got Fried. All right, now what? Now you're going to go get Verdugo? Like, where are you going to do with the lineup? And so there's a lot of questions there on whether they bring in a bunch of old guys like Bregman, like the Christian Walker, who's not young. Is that the Yankees we're going to see? You know, the Anthony Rizzos of the world that are aging but capable, experienced players? Or is this going to be where they hitch their wagon to some of the young guys and see what they could offer? I'm curious to see. It's going to be a very interesting next 3-4 days as free agency really ramps up. Because the Red Sox are going to be just as much in the mix for a lot of these players because the Red Sox are a bit playing two steps behind. And they, I guess, established a little bit of a foothold in this free agency frenzy by getting Crochet today, which I give them credit for.
And the Red Sox are younger, and they probably have the better younger prospects that are up in the MLB. Colin, I think the Yankees, you mentioned Kyle Tucker. A way that they can get back to kind of Soto relevance, I think, is via trade. Kyle Tucker is one of the best outfielders in Major League Baseball. If they're able to secure Kyle Tucker, I think that'll answer some things in right field. But conversations you and I have had in the past, they need a whole slew of things. Soto was step one into becoming a better baseball team, and they already struck out on that. They could probably, Kyle, go through the positions again. You said it the other day, center fielder, right fielder,
well, they're probably
second
gonna
baseman.
I assume they're going to want to move Judge out of center into right. And then if they get somebody like Tucker, you could stick him in left. And then the infield is a complete disaster.
Second baseman is big because you're not bringing back Torres. If I had to hear, and honestly, thank God, because if I had to hear one more Yankee fan complain about Gleyber Torres, it was going to be enough to drive me insane. But you need a lot more than just Juan Soto, and you struck out already. And it is crazy. You are right. It is crazy that the Yankees got outbid with the payroll they have and the blank checks that Cashman gets in his offices. So I think they've already failed. And I kind of scratched my head to you yesterday. It happened at the end of our show, Kyle, when Fried went to the Yankees. 8 years? Like, I can maybe even argue he's going to be good for 3 years
contract. He's 30 years old. He's going to be 31 on opening day.
8 years is insanity to give a 31-year-old. He's going to be 40 years old almost when that contract is up. That contract, in my opinion, seemed desperate. And
well, the one thing is he's a non-negotiable. If you're the Yankees, you needed to get him. And the years, you deal with it. It's an expensive-ish contract, but you needed to make that move. And the ball was completely in his court in terms of how much he wanted to drive that price up and the amount of years. He wanted stability. The Yankees matched it because they don't really have the luxury of picking and choosing when to give this guy this stability or that guy that stability. Fried was the right move. It's going to benefit them in the long run, but they need to make probably three more moves for experienced bats in that lineup. So I'm very curious on where that is and whether that's a Christian Walker and stick him at first, or if they're going to break the bank, send a bunch of prospects, and send the house for the Astros for Kyle Tucker. And then you're going to have to sign him to a big contract as well. Where does that lie? I don't really know. But if it was me, I would try to build him in the aggregate as much as I possibly can.
I don't think you could do that with these free agents that are on the market. We went through the free agent list. And
you can make it work. It's just one guy. Soto hits three times a game. Yeah, he's an elite bat. But it's not like they lost four guys that are a crucial piece of that offensive production. It's one guy. So
that one guy, really good.
Totally. But Christian Walker, he knocks in 30 runs. You know, Bellinger had a great year. If you get him, you could bring in somebody then. You got to take hopefully another step out of somebody like Volpe or Dominguez. I'm very curious on, I guess, the Yankees' perspective here, because they're going to have better arms with Fried. And it's a matter of who's going to step up. You don't have the 1-2 pop at the front of the lineup with Soto and Judge.
I'm going to play devil's advocate even more. Like, is DJ LeMahieu going to be able to stay healthy?
Oh.
Is Giancarlo Stanton, Colin, going to be able to stay healthy? I understand, and I learned
He's a get-to-the-postseason player.
I learned the hard way that he is a postseason hero. But at the same time, you're going to need something for the 162 games that you have to play during the regular season. So I could argue that those are some things that the Yankees might have to address coming up in the offseason too. LeMahieu, by the way, starting third baseman on the Yankees two deep right now.
Yeah, I would say go get Tucker if you can, but you're going to have to give up probably some bigger prospects, whether that be Spencer Jones or Dominguez.
Can I ask you something? Why are the Astros just getting rid of Kyle Tucker? Why
it's a contract year. They don't want to pay him. It's a contract year. I just don't think they want to give him a 12-year contract.
And then listen, I all of them are cheaters. You know, I can't stand the Astros, but they're great players. And it's head scratching to me that a team who lost in the playoffs in the first round that probably had revenge on their mind going into this year are going to get rid of two of their best players, Bregman and Tucker.
Yeah, but if there's a team that's trending downward based on what we've seen, the Astros are near the top of the list. They're trying to reload here.
Yeah.
And if they're going to have their Altuves and you know, some of their cornerstones, but if Bregman's walking, Tucker's a big-time piece. I know they
Tucker's
got Yordi
youngish,
there.
Right?
Yeah, I think he's 29 or 30.
I'll double check.
And but you could have an opportunity there to get a haul for a big-time player there instead of paying him.
It's crazy to me that the Astros, the Yankees have accused, and obviously they were cheaters, but, you know, have been crying the cheating card for years or would do business with the Yankees. 27, by the way, Kyle Tucker.
27, so he's younger than I thought.
27 years old, 290 hitter, 23 homers last year, and 49 RBIs. He was hurt for a lot of the year,
too. He's a great all-around player. Is it worth the haul? Is it worth the haul? You're not going to give Soto the $800 million. Do you want to give Tucker the $450?
Best guess, Colin, are the Yankees going to be better than last year's Yankees? I say no. Without Juan Soto and without that top three,
I don't know what they've done in the free agency. I got to see that.
I think unless they go out and make a blockbusting trade, I don't think anything in that free agent market is going to be able to fix not bringing back Soto. It's my two cents on the situation.
I think they could put together three, four guys that will replicate and provide a little bit more stability front to back in that lineup. I'm just curious to see how they're doing.
And I go back to, they were supposed to re-sign Soto and then work their way from there. They failed Objective A.
So that's Objective A. So Objective B is, all right, now we got to prove to the fan, the Christian Cats of the world, so-called, that we need to apply a lot of resources into replacing this type of production. Our producer, Christian Cat, is the Yankee fan of the bunch. And Christian Cat, they did not get Soto, but they got Max Fried. Now the Yankees are in a position where the general manager and ownership need to prove to certain fans like yourself that they are still in the mix. They need to get enough in the lineup to give that fan base confidence that they can come out next year and, I guess, improve. What would be your two cents on that?
No one else had said this, and I think it's a misjustice in the baseball media that I'm the first one to come up with this because I'm not very smart, but it's clear and obvious in front of me. Who is one of the best players in baseball in the last 20 years, who's from New Jersey, who is now considered a bargain for the 12-year contract that he was signed to the Angels? That is Mike Trout. The Yankees should find a way to trade for Mike Trout.
But he can't stay healthy. You already have LeMahieu and then Stanton.
There's a whole bunch of logistical issues before we even get to him being in the pinstripes. What type of haul are you going to put together to go get Trout?
I don't know. I'm sure the Angels would love to
You're
get
gonna
off
have
that.
To give
want
a,
Volpe. They'd want Volpe. They'd want
the
your
Angels,
top prospects.
He's the
Dominguez,
reason.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Dominguez is not going to cut it. You're going to need Dominguez and two rotation starters.
Dominguez is being paid peanuts, and you have control of him for a while.
But
so.
I understand that. But like the Angels also signed. I am surprised by this. It would make sense. But another aging, unhealthy outfielder who is a great player, who doesn't have a whole lot of postseason experience that you're going to need to sell the farm and then some for?
I think
that's your big plan.
This is the lowest Mike Trout stock is going to be in the past five years and the next five years.
I really like Trout.
Because we forget how good he is.
No, I don't forget how good he is. I play fantasy baseball. The guy is unreal, but he plays 60 games. Every single year I have to tell myself, no, Mike, you can't take Mike Trout. He's not going to play for 80% of the year. Like, honest to God, you know how much I can't stand the Yankees. Be pretty cool to see him in pinstripes.
So
I can't lie.
The X's and O's and the logistical.
But it won't happen.
The actual lineup construction, all that. Okay, I'll put that to the side. Obviously, you want Mike Trout in your lineup. Hopefully, he stays healthy. But the Yankees find themselves at a crossroads where they got little brothered in their own city.
They did.
How do you match an outbidding of Juan Soto to the Mets? Oh, you go out to who was at one point going to be considered on the trajectory for the greatest baseball player of all time. You get Mike Trout and pinstripes. That's how you make a statement within your city.
Colin, can I give you another superstar I'd go for? Because Trout, not necessarily young. I'm going to give you a superstar that I think they should go after, and that is Yordan Alvarez. He's a left-handed hitter.
They're not going to trade him, though.
He's a bomber. All right, and it sounds like the Astros are fire sailing if they're getting rid of...
He is signed to a contract. That he is stable.
They're fire sailing.
Kyle Tucker is not, which is why they're doing that. It's not fire sale. But I understand the point. You guys are highballing this. I'm just trying to offer some perspective in terms of this might not work.
The realistic perspective is that the Yankees are going to get that Walker guy and who could only, what is it, Colin, hit righties? We tried doing this the other day. Yeah, he could hit righties. And Yankee fan is going to go absolutely ballistic when they roll into opening day with a no-name at second base, Walker at first base, and Aaron Judge holding down, you know, the superstar stardom.
The Angels already lost one of the two generational talents they had in their organization for nothing. They lost Shohei Ohtani. I know the contract was vastly different in that moment when they decided not to deal Shohei away in instead an attempt to make a push to the playoffs, which they came very short of doing that. They don't want to see that happen again. They don't want to waste this guy again. They can build an organization around the acquisitions of the tools you get for Mike Trout.
Now, see, Ken, I disagree. Like I said, I disagree with you with the player, but I agree with you that it is going to have to take a trade to get Yankee fans back in the saddle for this upcoming season. Colin, how much is it on Cashman that they weren't able to work out a deal? Do you think this came from up top?
It's a Steinbrenner number, and I can't blame Steinbrenner for offering $760 million. It sounded like the Yankees were in the driver's seat up until that Sunday in which he signed, so I can't blame the Yankees.
I think it's the first time in a long time where the Yankees got beat on a free agent acquisition where Yankees fans have admitted that they're blaming Soto and not the team itself.
Yes, 100%. And I think that is the perspective after not acquiring or signing somebody like Soto. Now, the thing about Trout is, what, $400 million on the books, and you'd probably have to take $300 of that. You're going to have to put up a historic haul because of the control. And not only on top of that, you're going to have to take the $300 million that he comes with. So you're not only paying $300 million for an aging, injury-prone outfielder who's a great player, you're also trading the farm, then some, and probably multiple starters for a team that already isn't deep for Mike Trout.
I saw Yankees team.
There's going to be Trout, Stanton, and Judge in that outfield.
Last year's Yankees were good enough to win a World Series. They didn't do it. Baseball's a game with high variance. They didn't do it. You can't break it down. You have to replace. And the reason that they were that close.
And they never have.
The reason they were that close to winning a World Series was Juan Soto. So you got to put the foot back on the gas pedal, and you've got to add to that lineup, if not keep it the same level.
Trout played 29 games last year. That was his career low.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's probably not going to happen this year.
They just made a big time haul. It was, I mean, Michael King and Higashioka, whatever, all to the Padres for that Juan Soto rental.
And
now they're going to do it again 2 years later. I wouldn't say it backfired, but now 2 years later they're going to do it again.
I wouldn't say it backfired.
I think it, no,
it didn't backfire.
Let me defend myself.
They're happy they got
Let me defend myself. It backfired because they didn't win a championship and they weren't able to re-sign him. No,
maybe.
Am I crazy?
Maybe
for that,
other
guys?
Yankees fans
they'd make
would
that trade again.
Otherwise.
They would make that trade again.
I just
for
think
Michael
that,
King and Higashioka, they'd make that trade.
I think making the World Series is an accomplishment of its own, no matter what organization you are. Unless you're the Dodgers right now, I think that is just an accomplishment. Of course, you want the title. But, again, it's not a simple rental anymore. Now you have all those years of control with Mike Trout, and I think your argument is more likely to what makes this not happen is the Angels not able to do it. The
right.
Angels not wanting to get rid of Mike Trout. Not the Yankees not willing to give it
up. He's a big focal point of that. He's the focal point of that entire franchise. It's a bad franchise, I understand. But they have a secret amount of money, a sneaky amount of money. My perspective is that the Yankees are going to have to give up entirely too much for somebody like that. And it's almost like, you know, the juice isn't worth the squeeze. And not for Mike Trout. And you want to go somebody that's maybe a little bit more reliable. Crazy to say that Mike Trout is not reliable, but he is not reliable. And it's not because of his ability on the field. It's his ability to get onto the field. So if off of that, there's your player argument. And then that's not even considering the management argument where you'd have to give up a whole bunch and you're still taking on hundreds of millions of dollars in contracts.
The money's not a problem.
And the
money's
risk.
Not a problem. But you
it's 35 a year. That's not a problem.
And the risk.
But he's got like another 10 years on the books.
That's okay.
And hang on. And the risk of him, guys, the biggest part, the risk of him playing 20 games.
Yeah.
Right? That could happen to anybody. The Yankees.
Dude, it happens
anybody.
To him a lot, though, yeah. Man. Like, I did. Listen, I told you I'm a big Mike Trout guy.
Hold on. There's another outfielder that's available and younger and that you're going to be able to set to your own contract and own terms who's more steadily available on the Astros. That's on the trade block.
More proof in the pudding. Mike Trout, since 2021, 36 games, 119, 82, 29. I don't know, C-Cat. I can't trust. I can't trust that. And as Colin has alluded, this is year 14, partner.
I appreciate you shooting for the stars on this.
I do too, go honestly. Fair play to you.
Go get Tucker. If you want to do that, go get Tucker.
Yeah.
And I think it's a question of if they're going to go make a blockbuster trade. There is one circled, and it is Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, Tucker's 27, you know, 6 years younger than Mike Trout. Good glove. Probably not the glove that Trout was in his prime, but good glove and a 25, damn near 300 hitter.
Now, remember this conversation when Mike Trout wants out and wants to go to contender, because the money's great and living in L.A. is great, but it can only go you so far as a
competitor. Well, that's the knock on Trout, right, is that he doesn't have a competitive – this is not my words – that he doesn't have a competitive bone in his body and he's just going to rot out that contract in L.A. and
for only
and
so
be okay
long,
with it.
I feel like eventually you get sick and tired of watching other teams.
13 years, C-Cat, he's been doing it. 13 years.
I don't think saying he doesn't have a competitive bone in his body is fair, but I think the
not
fact that...
Not my words.
Whose words are these?
Not my words.
If they're not yours, why are you saying them?
Kyle, not my words.
Right,
not my words.
Right, okay. So, but with Mike Trout, yeah, signed a bad contract with a bad franchise and now he's a little bit stuck. But, like, you kind of make the bed you sleep in. And he's the forgotten superstar. That's what he is.
He's had one postseason. It was 2014.
And he was terrible.
Played three games, one hit, and 12 at-bats.
He was terrible.
The one hit was a home run, but one for 12?
We're not going to consider that accurate sample size. Like, you can't just say
Mike
Trout's playoff performance.
You mean his .083?
Right, I agree with the point that his playoff performance is no reason you don't go after him. The reason you don't go after him is because of his health, his age, the price, not only for the contract, but for the longevity of it, and for the haul that you were going to have to give to the Angels are not going to take Dominguez and, you know, the 26th ranked prospect. They're going to take two rotation starters and two other position starters for Mike Trout. That's what that will be.
I was just nonetheless pointing out he played in one postseason, and I don't think it's high on his, you know, totem pole of wanting to play.
It's hard to grade him in the scale of being an all-time great. Is he hasn't played a meaningful game in 10 years.
And
you want to count that World Baseball Classic final? Please be my guest.
And then they lost. Those chokers, they lost.
Be my guest, but he hasn't played in a big game in his entire career.
Yeah, and then quickly, Kyle, the reason I bring up 14 as well is because if it was high on his totem pole to play in the playoffs, he would have left a long time ago. That was a decade ago.
He signed. They lost Ohtani. It's a little different, but I understand. I understand.
Just wait. He wanted to be a Yankee, man. He grew up as a Yankee fan when he was a child. Look backwards to look forward, Michael.
Fair enough. Fair play to you.
All right. Not you, Michael. I'm talking to Michael Trout.
Go get Tucker. I'm with Colin on that. Go get the realistic option.
Yeah, I don't know. That's you're shooting for the stars. No problem. But there's a reason you don't run a franchise. That's Christian Catt. That's Mike Rizzo. Colin Russo here with Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. We continue onward. 888-760-3776. The number to get into the program, 888-760-3776. What do the Yankees do to replace Juan Soto? We're taking calls, 888-760-3776. Joe Burrow's house got broken into. Did you see this?
Dude, that syndicate's back, CK.
They are back.
They're back.
And it was a swimsuit model that broke the story. So it was and a whole wanna, thing and there.
Quickly, I think it's because he was talking about getting a... Did you see he's getting a Batmobile? It's because he was flaunting around that he was getting a Batmobile. The syndicate took notice.
See, I didn't think Joe Burrow was rich until he talked about that. That's the, you know, that's the joke.
You didn't think he was...
That's a joke that, no, the crime syndicate didn't say, wait a second, Joe Burrow's going to get a Batmobile?
They didn't figure it out.
It wasn't
the $50 million contract?
Correct. It was because of the Batmobile. Yeah. The Bat.
It's turning into a major problem for these pro sports athletes, that the fact that these guys are waiting till they leave town to go break in.
If a syndicate is planning on breaking into my apartment, for God's sakes, just leave me my Nintendo Switch. You could take everything else. Just leave my Nintendo Switch.
I don't know. It's kind of a lesson to be learned. Like, money can't buy security in the fact that you're safe, right? They can buy actual literal security, and Joe Burrow will have enhanced security nowadays. But that's kind of scary. A home invasion kind of humbles us all. We're all the same person.
It's why I said, if it, just leave my Switch. All right.
UNC and Bill Belichick are nearing finalized talks, according to NFL sources such as Adam Schefter and, of course, Inside Carolina, saying that it's basically a done deal. We await to see final word. But the question really lies, we talked about it a bit yesterday, but does this move have more of a chance of damaging Bill Belichick's legacy or revolutionizing his legacy? We get into that next. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Nothing gets me fired up on a Wednesday like going up to F45 to kick off my day. You got to go to downtown West Palm Beach location, Palm Beach Gardens location, Wellington location, F45, the functional side of working out, in and out, and under an hour, 45-minute classes every hour, any time of the day. Really, with two coaches there, it's more of a social setting in terms of getting a quick set a sweat in, making sure you work out, start your day out with a win. You can't win your day if you don't win your morning. I go in the morning. For those of you who like the afternoons, they have that covered as well over at F45. It's a more functional side of working out, not necessarily the Olympic lifts that I am used to. But nonetheless, I go, and it's my ultimate way to turn my brain off, do what the coaches tell me to do, get in and out, F45. Downtown West Palm Beach. Go check him out on Instagram. Go check him out right over here in downtown. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Feels like every day we have a new Bill Belichick update, but now it seems like these talks have escalated even further than what we talked about yesterday with Inside Carolina reporting that Bill Belichick has essentially started to enter the finalizing contract talks with University of North Carolina to be their next head coach. And we talked about it a lot yesterday about the ethics and whether it would work. But now I got to think we start to talk about how the, I guess, broad scope in the, I guess, cloud of Bill Belichick and his impact on the game of football. Now, the question lies, if you were to take this job, which is one of the more bizarre things that I can remember in terms of situationally, somebody shifting out of the NFL into the collegiate world at this point in time when everybody's trying to get out of college, he's trying to get in. Now, the question lies in, I guess, opportunity cost. Does this move for Bill Belichick have a higher chance of damaging that great legacy of his or, on the other side of things, revolutionizing that great legacy of his in terms of being that guy who could shift to college at a moment's notice, you know, and succeed, and not only succeed at a program that never succeeds at a high level.
I think Belichick has nothing to lose on the college end. If he fails, oh well. If he does great, it's just another notch on the belt. I thought he would rather go after the NFL. What is it, 15, 12 wins, whatever he needs to beat the Don Shula record. I thought that'd be more important to him than being a CEO college coach. But I, in my opinion, it doesn't matter. If Belichick does take this job and he fails, I don't think it matters. And if he does great, it's just more accolades. That's the way I look at it. Right now, I'm going to compare it to the Aaron Rodgers situation. Am I going to remember Aaron Rodgers for failing with the New York Jets? No. I'm going to remember Aaron Rodgers for being a champion in Green Bay and being a multi-MVP winning quarterback. But we know how these guys are, Colin. We know how Rodgers is. We know how Belichick is. These guys are going to remember that they didn't do well and that they failed.
Now, the one thing I'll push back with that is what's weird about college and the NFL is it's almost viewed as two different sports. And I guess how they, I know the Pete Carrolls of the world have succeeded at both levels, but the Harbaughs. But in a lot of ways, sort of the legacies that lie in the NFL on the coaching side of things sort of stay exclusive comparatively to the college side of things, unless you're one of the few that flip-flop. Now, Nick Saban is widely viewed as the greatest college coach of all time. And I don't think there's much of a discussion that comes to being the ultimate, like you said, CEO of a program. Nick Saban is viewed amongst the top, the 1A of the bunch in terms of being a collegiate football coach. Now, everybody on the other side, at least for the most part, view Bill Belichick as the greatest NFL coach of all time. I don't know if people usually say the greatest football coach of all time. It depends who you ask. But he's the greatest NFL coach of all time as it stands today. Well, now, on the other side of things, if Belichick, just to provide an argument, if Belichick was to go to a team like North Carolina, a school that is a big enough program and revolutionize it and be the ultimate shot in the arm, thrust them into national title conversations and kind of be the spark that thrusts a great program into stardom. If he does that and succeeds at a high level, not going to say win a championship or anything, but succeeds at a high level, I think this can do a lot in bolstering a legacy of Belichick as a football coach and as a football icon. He already is. It's almost like you're building on top of a gold mountain to begin with. But from the college and the NFL side of things, that separation, if he were to bridge that gap and to be wildly successful on both ends with the pedigree he already has, he could do a whole number on revolutionizing his legacy in the grand scheme of football.
Let's think about who has a chance to do that. That's Khaki Pants, the cheater, Harbaugh. You know, great coach, by the way. But he has a chance to win a Super Bowl.
And he's a rarity as it is.
He is.
He only won one in each side.
I agree. And as I said, you know, my feelings come as an Ohioan that he's a cheater. Obviously, he's not viewed as that on the national perspective. Like, Harbaugh is a great coach who has a chance to go legendary. I do you think that's the objective here, Colin, for Belichick to just add another layer of him being one of the greatest? Like,
Belichick likes the power. Belichick likes the attention.
He does. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's trying to go legend that way, winning a national championship in college.
He's already an immortal figure. I mean, but it's like any other king in the history of anything.
Just trying to add on
you're just
to the accolades.
To get
yes.
More. You're, now, you don't know when enough is enough.
You're fascinated with ancient Egypt like how I am. It's like the pyramids, you know? Who could build the highest pyramid at the peak of the empire? So I don't blame Belichick for wanting to do this. I just, God, you're 72. Colin, he's 72. You think maybe, all right, let me just go on my beach and enjoy my time with my family and you know, and watch my son play. If I get bored, maybe I'll go sit on the sideline with one of Steve's teams. No, man, he wants to be hands-on and win a national championships, for God's sakes.
He likes the media attention that he's getting from the Manning cast to the McAfee show, and he's in the limelight, and he's panning himself in a relatively fun light after, you know, sitting in the shadows in the Patriots and just doing what Bill Belichick does. Now he's got a sense and a feel, a taste of that stardom. He wants to kind of add to it, become a little bit of a Dion-type figure, and you're not going at a lot of ways to see the team. You're going to see the coach. And there's only a few teams in college football that really have that type of pull. Jim Harbaugh was one of them. And Dion's another one. And Bill Belichick, you're going to go to a UNC game, not to see what UNC's team in, but because of the intrigue that Bill Belichick provides and because of the, I guess, the star power that he is associated with. I think it could do a whole lot. Like you said before, it's not necessarily that big of a notch if it's a big dumpster fire, because everybody knows that college sports is a big nightmare.
It is.
And you're at the mercy of a whole lot that's exclusive outside of coaching, whether that be NIL and the whole thing. So if anything, this is an opportunity for him to kind of expand that golden mountain he's already on and to revolutionize, immortalize himself, and be one of those rare few to bridge the gap at a high level between the NFL and college. That is probably the benefit here, on top of the stuff with his son.
And I also think with the way college football is set up now with the transfer portal, it's like free agency. So in Belichick's mind, he's like, all right, this is more of the NFL than it was maybe four years ago.
More suitable to my skill set.
More suitable to what I do here. Colin, you know there is a, on ESPN.com, I did not know this until today. Guys, go to ESPN.com. You could check out the portal rankings. They have transfer portal rankings for college football
now. Via team
now.
Or via player?
Player. Player. And I only looked up until 22. I didn't know how high the list went, but I looked at 22 players that ESPN had ranked one, obviously number one being the best, because Mensa, Colin, the Tulane quarterback, was the number one player in the transfer portal as of now, and he signed with Duke. So I think with stuff like that and the portal and whatnot, it's more suitable, as you said, to Belichick's skill set.
Fascinating to see if anything gets officially finalized. Everybody's saying it's basically on the final runway, but we wait to see. Until I see that Adam Schefter tweet that there's no more kinks to work out and he is going to be the next head coach of North Carolina, I'm going to be a little hesitant to believe that anything is finalized. But in the meantime, Bill Belichick and UNC furthering talks, closer to finalizing talks, as reports say. In the meantime, we got to talk about what we need to improve upon and what we need to get better at, and my golf game being one of them. We'll get into that a little bit next, presented by our pals over at Flagstaff Golf Performance. Let's do a little better than yesterday on Russo and Rizzo. Coming up next, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Got a lot to improve upon. It's time. It's a reflective period. It's midweek. We're far enough from the weekend where we've kind of forgotten about it, and we're far enough from the next weekend where it's going to be a problem. Mike and I, of course, have our youth basketball game tonight, or 0-6 youth basketball game. So a lot of work to be done there.
Practice was interesting last night.
It sure was. Tried a little different things and ball handling and making sure guys can hold on to the ball without losing
Ken,
it.
I was teaching the triple threat last night. That's
yes, triple threat position where you can pass, you can shoot, or you can dribble with the ball.
My man.
So somebody picked up on it.
Right.
You might be the only one.
Correct.
But correct. So somebody knows. But it's time for us to reflect on what we need to improve upon. Let's do a little better than yesterday.
Flagstaff Golf Performance presents Better Than Yesterday.
Our football team was like the kid that plays second French horn in the school band. We got to play better.
Yesterday I said I'd work out. Today I might actually find my gym shoes. How will you be better than yesterday?
Today, you might find your gym shoes and might take the next step towards becoming better than yesterday. It's presented by Flagstaff Golf Performance. It's the ultimate indoor golf experience. It's in Boynton Beach, freshly opened. It's now open. Go get started today. It's a unique facility. It has three state-of-the-art indoor simulators on top of it. It has a state-of-the-art putting studio. It has a tour-inspired build shop. Andy and the team over at Flagstaff are very hands-on in making sure that the type of golf gear that you have caters to your skills. But on top of that, making sure that you fine-tune your skills with your swing. They have cameras that could correlate to making sure that your swing is as best as it can be, as efficient as it can be. I know mine has a lot of issues, but we are working out the kinks. We are taking it step by step, day by day. And thankfully, Andy and the team are working patiently with me. But over at Flagstaff, you could take these lessons from PGA professionals. You could get fit for new clubs, play on the simulators. It's really an optimal environment for somebody who is not, or who is, I guess, serious about improving their golf game. And that's what Flagstick really has to offer. It's located in Boynton Beach. It offers memberships, daily access for all. Go check out their Instagram, Flagstick All Performance. They have a ton of promos, including a $100 for four simulator hours, I believe. $150.
$150 for four simulator hours. Or, this is an awesome deal. Andy knows his stuff. Two 45-minute lessons for $150. You can get to a lot of damage in a good way, in your golf swing with a 45-minute lesson, let alone two.
Yeah, and I've worked with Andy, and I'll tell you, Andy will not, I guess, sugarcoat your problems with your swing, and he'll make sure that it's fine-tuned and proper. Go check him out. Visit them in person. Find out all the info you need at flagstickgolfperformance.com. I will start, and in terms of how I need to get better than yesterday, all three of us were at this event. It was over on Monday. It was the Lou Groza Awards, and it was over at the Marriott in West Palm Beach, where the best kickers, some of the best high school players in the Palm Beach County Treasure Coast area are honored with some awards. You know, the best team of the year, you know, the whole thing, the best kickers, and of course the three collegiate finalists on the kicking side on who's the best kicker. So that's a whole event. It's a banquet. You've all been to one. I need to get better at sitting through these banquets. I had a good time at the event. I enjoyed the food. I enjoyed the company. I enjoyed a lot of the talks. I just generally have a problem with sitting through events. And I think that is something I need to get better at.
Collins being humble here. It was longer than an extra inning baseball game in 2005. Guys, 4.5 hours for a kicker award? Let's figure it out here. Let's speed it up a little bit. All right. I understand we're doing high school awards. I understand we're doing video. 4.5 hours?
It's a little long.
We got it. What are we doing?
It's a little long. I've never heard anybody say that speech was too short.
What are we doing here? Guys, 4.5 hours for the kicker award?
Theo Dorsey was emceeing this. Theo Dorsey, of course,
a good sport.
One of, theoretically speaking, on two to four weekdays on 106.3 ESPN. Theo Dorsey was quipping the crowd and losing his notes, and he was doing this and doing that. Theo, let's go. A little pep in your step wouldn't hurt, my friend. It was funny. There's my little bash. On Theo, of course, he did a great job as always.
He always does. He's great, but 4.5 hours.
Sitting through a banquet, it's sitting in a seat. You're saying you love it. You're lying. Sit through it. I need to get better at sitting through an event like
guys. No award ceremony.
No, it wasn't 4.5 hours. It was
4.5 hours.
It started at 7:15, and you're out of there at 10. But that is, so it was 2 hours and 45 minutes. Probably could have gotten out of there in 90 minutes. That's just my take.
I guess you're right, but we were there since, what, three? We were there for how long?
It's different for us. We were there doing the show, but the actual event started at 7:15.
All right, guys. I'm going to need some help with mine because I need to get better at not getting baited in my group chat with some of my good friends. Now, my friends are most of my friends that I grew up with, believe it or not, cannot stand Ohio State. Unless you like went there and unless you're let's just say I have a lot of friends that don't like the Buckeyes, okay? Including my cousin being the number one culprit who went to LSU and is a huge LSU fan. I always get baited into the LSU supremacy conversations in the group chat. The schedules came out. Colin mentioned it to me in the break and I'm happy he did because it reminded me what I need to get better at. And my cousin sends the schedule of the Buckeyes schedule, who's got Texas, the three big games for Ohio State next year. Week one against Texas, that's going to be a top five team in Texas. I don't know where the Buckeyes are going to be next year. Penn State will be a top five team next year. And then Michigan, who's going to be better and is going to be ranked, okay? And they say it's a horrible schedule and, you know, Big Ten's overrated and this and that. I've been in Colin has seen me over here. I've been in an arguing match on my phone for the last hour defending the Big Ten, defending Ohio State's schedule, and trying to prove
They're saying it's weak.
They're saying the Ohio State schedule is weak and the SEC reigns supremacy. And I'm reminding them that the SEC isn't what it was 5 years ago where you had Nick Saban and Kirby Smart at the peak. You have three lost teams in the SEC now. Alabama has a new head coach. My cousin, the LSU fan, I had to remind him that he hasn't been relevant since Trump's first term, okay? 2019, all right? 5 years it's been since the great LSU Tigers have even sniffed the college football
playoff.
That's
not really playoff. Much of a diss.
They also had a Heisman Trophy winner like 2 years ago.
All right, and that's another thing that came up. If you're counting Heisman Trophies, fair play to you. Fair play to you, dude. That's
don't
your
you
big
wish
thing.
That you had a
like
Heisman
the big
quarterback.
I don't, dude. Who cares? I'm trying to win. The Buckeyes have been in the playoff four
well,
out of the last
can, if
six
you do
years.
One, if you can do one or either,
the last six. I'd rather have a competitive team and compete for a national championship. That LSU
on,
team was not competing
more recently
for
than Ohio State
but
has.
We've been,
and they've also had two Heisman trophies
and
in that process.
And that's exactly what he said. And what I said was, we've been to a national championship more recently. Did we lose the game? Sure. And we've been to four out of the last six college football playoffs. They have been irrelevant for 5 years. They've lost three games for 5 years straight. Three games or more for 5 years straight.
Would you rather take the last 5 years of LSU or Ohio State?
The Buckeyes have not lost to a unranked opponent going into Michigan
Michigan.
5 years. Listen, Michigan's a loss on the schedule, guys, right now.
Hold on.
Don't hold Michigan
would
against
would you rather
me,
have right? the last 5 years of LSU or Ohio State? Two Heisman Trophy winners and a 2019 national championship team that was probably in the top four or five best college teams of all time.
So I guess I would rather have the last 5 years of LSU, but the last 4 years of Ohio State.
I mean, my argument is the Buckeyes, and you guys could hate, and I know you two hate Ohio State, all right? You guys could hate the Buckeyes all you want. You could diss the Buckeyes all you want. We're in the conversation every single year. We don't lose more than two games every single year. And we've been in the playoff four out of the last 6 years. There's something to be said about consistency and a program that is competing for a national championship year in and year out. LSU is irrelevant. They got that. They got Brian Kelly at the helm, who, number one, lost recruiting
day. Hold on. All right. So what do we need to get better at?
I need to get better at exactly what I'm doing right now. I got to stop getting baited in my group chats. I just got to let it fly.
No, to be clear, I would take the last 5 years of LSU as well.
I'd take the last 15 years of LSU over the last 15 years of Ohio State.
It's an argument.
Each program has two national championships since the turn of 2000. The Buckeyes in 02 and 14, LSU in 07 and 19. And, oh, God, actually, I forgot about Saban.
They also played.
I forgot about Saban.
Game of the century.
But you get my argument in the consistency. LSU has these periods where
there's
they disappear for a decade.
Total right? argument. They're in a bit of disarray right now. But, you know, that team is a – want that for 5 years.
And I also say the 2019 team might have been one of the best college football teams of all time.
It was. Would we agree? Yes, it
and
was.
And it won with Ed Orgeron a coach. So I think you should maybe look –
But they
Ryan
did it
Day again.
They also did it with an Ohio State quarterback. They also did it with an Ohio
whatever.
State quarterback.
Stop
nobody
can,
nobody,
him, so.
Nobody thinks of it like that. But okay, Christian Cat, what do you need to get better than yesterday at?
Got a couple of things that come to mind, but the one that's most pressing is giving me the most anxiety. I need to stop procrastinating my oil changes. I keep on getting in my car. It's a new car. I bought it a year ago, and it's the biggest purchase I've ever made for this used Toyota Corolla. And I've taken care of it a bunch. The first year, all the oil changes were included. So it's easy to get a free oil change. It's kind of hard to open up the wallet, crack it open, and get that premium oil change that I should get. Because I want to make this car last a long time, but I don't want to sit somewhere for...
So you have the it's a light usually with the car, right?
Yeah, like the newer ones just say maintenance required soon after a certain amount of miles.
So you have had that for how long?
It's about 2 weeks now.
Wow.
It says soon. There is a next level of that.
So you're fine.
They need it now.
You're fine.
You know, the holidays are coming around. I'm going to drive the car around a bunch. We're going to drive to Miami on Friday for a West Boca's state championship game. I gotta stop pushing this to the end of the road again and again and again.
So you're not good with, like, the chores. You're not good at, like, all right, like, if there's something I could do now, but I don't necessarily want to do it, I'm not good about,
like,
proactive and getting it done.
I got some clothes. I need a return. It's just on the way
dry
to work.
Dry cleaners. That you're not good with that type of thing.
No. I am not good at that thing. Like, waited the last second until I got my first passport when I needed it for a trip abroad. Like, I push things to the limit when it comes to things that can be done tomorrow, but you can only say that so many times.
Mike needs a passport, too.
I do. I'm actually, Colin, I'm going to have to miss out on a trip come New Year's Eve.
He's getting burned because he doesn't have a passport as well. Did you expedite yours when you did that?
No, I made it happen. I didn't need to pay the extra money, thankfully.
Okay. Another better than yesterday that I have that has nothing to do with me, but has everything to do with the NFL. Can Netflix stop with this big deal about putting every known face you've ever seen in your entire life in this Christmas Day broadcast press release they had, the NFL Christmas Game Day? The broadcast crews, one thing. Noah Eagle, Ian Eagle, they have J.J. Watt on one with Burleson, I believe. And I think the other one is Greg Olson with Noah Eagle. Two very good crews. I think Noah and Ian are both very good. No problem there announcing the crews, because I was actually curious about that, because you're going to hear that during the game. But then they release this graphic, which is on Twitter at Netflix, where they show all of the personalities that they have hired for this two-game stretch.
Like three different Brady Bunch opens.
Kay Adams, Nate Burleson, Drew Brees, Melanie Collins, Robert Griffin III, Mina Kimes, Ian Rappaport, Manti Te'o, Gene Steratore, Devin McCourty, Jason McCourty, Burt Kreischer, the comedian. Guys, there's the 3.5 hours of the game. What are these guys going to do? A stand-up routine at halftime?
Well, they're not going to have a lack of content,
this
Colin.
Is ridiculous. Scott Hansen's on this. Why the hell is he on this?
He could do it by himself. He does what? 8 hours, 8.5 hours
it's
of commercial-free
ridiculous.
Football by himself.
Nobody cares about the Christmas game day. You're there with your family, and you're not there tuning into the pregame, making sure that everybody's locked in to Burt Kreischer's take on the Chief game.
I wasn't going to watch football on Christmas, but now that me and Akam's on the broadcast, I'll be tuning in now.
And you're investing so much money. We're going to be in the Ravens-Texans pregame. There's going to be nine different... It's like the Amazon Prime pregame, which is a disgrace to humanity, when they got nine people sitting on that godforsaken table trying to get their thoughts in, but they have to keep it so concise. It's terrible. Nobody was going to tune into the pregame regardless, because it's a big holiday. But enough, Netflix. Get better than yesterday with, trying to bring in the Brady Bunch of 1,000 different personalities trying to up this broadcast. A month ago, Netflix couldn't even put the stream on with Jake Paul, Mike Tyson. You couldn't even watch it. It was a buffer machine, and it was a complete disaster on putting together a live event. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to have, five different groups of Power Rangers trying to establish themselves in the pregame, halftime, and postgame of each of these games.
Blue Ranger, ready!
Unbelievable. They're going to try to do so much with it. Just do the game. Do a good job with the game. You'll get another game next year. Enough with Netflix. Enough with Netflix. I'm so over that. Unbelievable. That's my... Do you guys have another one?
I have one more. I just got to be better with the holidays and be a better spirited person, because I told you guys the gifts and how I'm a good gift giver and everything, and I had a couple of people text me what they wanted, and it's just like, God, I hate you. You know what I mean? That, like, I love you, but God, I hate you. Like, you're texting me what you, like, because they know I hate the holidays, and they know, like.
Are they messing with you?
Exactly. And, like, they're telling me what they want, and, like, it's just, like, I told you I tried this years ago with my siblings. Like, let's just not get each other anything so we don't have to spend money on each other and do the whole, song and dance. But my brother and sister absolutely adore Christmas and have great stuff for me, and are texting me what they want. But little do they know that I already got gifts picked out for them.
Mike, we don't.
You don't want to say it yet.
I have great gifts.
You have good gifts?
Don't worry about it. I have great gifts for him. I need to do mom. I need to do mom and dad's gifts still. We got payday coming up here after this weekend. So
credit card.
I do, but I don't like. Like me, I spend money faster than I have it. If I use my credit card, I'm just going to go crazy on it. So, like, I'd rather just use my debit card. Right. Fair play, right? Fair play.
I get those points back and it's not protected. We'll talk about it later.
We will. But I need to be a better spirited individual during the holidays. You guys know I cannot stand Christmas.
That's all I got.
That was Better Than Yesterday, presented by Flagstick Golf Performance. Go check them out. Visit them in person. Find out all the info you need at flagstickgolfperformance.com. They got fittings. They got personal, in-depth lessons. They got a tour build shop, simulators. Go check it out. Flagstick Golf Performance. Now, speaking of Christmas gifts, we're in the season. I have a gift that I'm waiting to pull the trigger on with my little brother, and I want to run it by you guys and make sure I'm doing this properly.
He's not listening, is he? Is he a listener?
100% no. So we're going to break this down, and I'm curious because I think this is a hell of a gift. And so we'll get into that a little bit next in a little 5 and 5. It's Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.